Hey there, I'm Tal Zlotnitsky from Ignite IT Consulting. You know me from the Braving Business podcast, but when I'm not behind the mic, I'm helping tech startups and established companies ignite their full potential. I also help entrepreneurs and businesses in distress reset for success. With over three decades of entrepreneurial success, I bring hands-on experience to drive growth, navigate turnarounds, raise capital, and lead through innovation. Whether it's executive coaching or strategic transformation, I'm here to turn your business challenges into success stories. Visit igniteitconsulting.com and let's spark that change together. That's igniteitconsulting.com. Your journey to business brilliance starts now.
And one last quick thing. If you enjoyed this episode, please stay on after the show to learn more about the Braving Business podcast and other great episodes for you to discover. And now, let's get the show started. Well, hello there.
Hey there, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you, world traveler?
I'm good. I'm glad to be home base for a minute. It's been hectic.
Are you back in Tampa?
I am temporarily on the road again tomorrow, but I've been here for 48 hours. Feels like a real reprieve. I've been on the road basically 75% of the time the last couple of months, so it's been hectic.
Oh my gosh. Well, you're racking up the miles, so that's always good. So I understand.
Not as good as it used to be. It's not as good as it used to be. You know, the miles used to mean a lot more, both on the airline side and the hotel side. But I'll get off my soapbox.
No. Actually, I do have a gripe about that. I used to have like almost 250,000 miles on United, and then I changed jobs and I didn't fly for like 24 months. Lost them all. Didn't realize.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Didn't realize I had to like do something. And I lost them all.
Well, I guess United will not be a sponsor of ours, but that's okay.
I should not have named them, I guess.
Oh, it's all right. It's okay. I'm actually glad you named them. I will not name the airline in which I have 450,000 miles, and yet I cannot get upgraded to anything ever.
Oh, no. Let's call them out.
Yeah? American. What the hell?
American.
Such a great airline when it was US Air.
Tal Zlotnitsky needs to be in first class every time. Please put him in.
Just on occasion. All right. Anyway.
Hey, and today we have Dustin Portillo on. Dustin, whenever you come to Chicago, are you a rock star? Do people like just start cheering you as soon as you land?
Well, if they know what my last name is, but if they knew the real secret, they probably wouldn't.
Oh, pray tell. What is the real secret?
Well, Portillo on my birth certificate is Portillo. But it's not our real family's last name. My grandfather passed away in 2001, and the 13 years I spent with him never once mentioned family. And so years after he passed away, we found out that he in fact stole someone's identity and went to the grave. I mean, even my grandmother, his wife, didn't even know that he had this deep, dark secret. So it's so crazy because as a kid, I used to say I was infatuated on some degree with The Godfather. And I used to tell the kids in my third grade class that my grandfather used to be in the mafia. Well, come to find out, I mean, there is a real potential that he might have trying to hide from someone. So wow. Very interesting. Yeah. So I'm not really quite sure what our real last name is, although we are Italian. So we did some blood testing and we are from the Mediterranean and it was like 92% Italian.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Wow. Yeah. So, and for those who are not familiar, Portillo's in Chicago is probably the best fast foodish restaurant in town. Just amazing. Even their napkins are great. Everything's great at Portillo's. So
parking lot's pretty fantastic too, if you're into that kind of stuff.
They're so efficient. It's not even funny. Puts in and out to shame.
Okay, guys, this is boring. Come on, carry on.
All right. Well, fine. Well, you know what's not boring? Mr. Dustin Portillo. Mm-hmm. So at the tender age of 19, Dustin Portillo achieved his childhood dream, literally a dream that he had had since he was 4 years old, which was joining the world famous Ringling Brothers Circus as a professional clown. In time, entertaining over 35 million people across North America in over 3,500 shows. His comedic talent and showmanship caught the attention of McDonald's, where he took on the high-profile role of Ronald McDonald, making appearances at major events like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But Dustin's story isn't just about making people laugh. It's about resilience and reinvention. After his corporate position at Casper's Company, a successful McDonald's franchise, he was eliminated during downsizing, and he faced a pivotal moment. Take a normal job or carve his own path, and he chose the latter. Now, Dustin is a full-time speaker and author of It's Okay to Be an Idiot, which probably is named after me, a book that blends humor with profound life lessons on overcoming setbacks, embracing authenticity, and finding strength through adversity. His mission is to take his message global, inspiring audiences to laugh more, stress less, and embrace their inner idiot as a strength. Dustin may be a professional clown, but his message is no joke, and we are thrilled to have him here on the Braving Business Podcast. Dustin, welcome.
Thank you. And that was memorized, wasn't it?
Yes.
It looks like it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
I'm always impressed with the work we do with the bios. A lot of times our guests listen. We get some suggestions from the guests on things they believe should be included. But generally, we do our own work. And I met you a few months ago. You were speaking to students at the University of South Florida, where I'm on the board of the business school. And it was incredible to watch you at work. And frankly, I didn't know some of the stuff that was shared just now. So it's interesting to be able to dive into those things with you. But let's start at the beginning.
Thank you.
Like you said, you started at 4 years old and decided you wanted to be a clown. I just saw a very funny Bill Maher comedy special where he said if people got to decide what they wanted to be at 5 years old, we'd have a lot of princesses and cowboys. But you actually at 4 years old decided to be a clown and you followed through with that. So first, what sparked that dream? And then what caused you to stick with it after all these years?
Sure. I grew up in Kansas City, and at the age of four, my parents began to take my brother and I. And there was something about the clowns going to specifically Ringling Brothers. I didn't want to be a clown for any other circus besides Ringling Brothers. And there was something about it. I have never found clowns to be funny. And even comedians, I've never found funny. It's always the mechanics of what they do, the explosions, the lighting effects, the music, just kind of everything blended together is just, it's like an incredible orchestrated classical music. There's just something about it that is just so damn good. And I was hooked the moment I went to Ringling Brothers. And from the age of four up until I joined Ringling at the age of 19, that's what I wanted to do. And there was nothing that was going to stop me. And, you know, I don't clown anymore. It's been quite a few years. It's been, 14 years since my Ronald McDonald days, but I still perform. You know, whenever I get up in front of an audience, I'm still performing. I still wear a costume, you know, whatever I am dressed in is my costume. So there is still a level of entertainment in what I do. It's just a different kind of performance nowadays.
That's really cool. So you were the Ronald McDonald for a while?
Well, I don't want to boast, but I was Ronald. I was based in the Tampa Bay, Florida market. And I did events in this area, and then I did the McDonald's worldwide conventions, which is where all of the, literally every McDonald's employee, franchise, supplier converges at the Orange County Convention Center, which is a massive, massive convention area. And so I used to go there and do shows as Ronald, do meet and greets, do some publicity stuff, and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade as well, which was another phenomenal experience.
Wow,
phenomenal.
That's so cool.
Experience.
That's so cool. So interesting though. So at 19, you joined the circus, which is truly incredible. What moment from your 4 years at the circus still sticks with you today, whether it's hilarious or terrifying or, you know, even emotional?
Okay. So two things stick out. The first is the very first day that I saw the show, when I knew that in a couple of hours, my parents were driving back to Kansas City, because I joined the show in Chicago, Rosemont. And so watching the show, knowing that I was going into that show, there was a moment of, I have made it. This has been a dream of mine since 4. I finally have arrived at the entrance to how everything has just kind of crescendoed to that. Second one is we were playing Madison Square Gardens. This would have been in 2007, I want to say. And the elephants were on stage. And if you've ever been to Madison Square Garden or ever or know anything about it, it is several floors. And the circus, I believe, played on the 7th or 8th floor of the arena. And so you have to swirl, you have to travel basically the entire perimeter of the arena to get downstairs from the backstage area. So we're all in the dressing room, which was called Clown Alley, which no one was allowed to go in because we're entering in as, you know, this, and then you're, it's a whole secretive kind of society kind of a thing. So one of the clowns comes in and he goes, guys, we need to go now. And we're like, why? What's up? And his English wasn't so great. And he was wearing the high wire act costume. Guys, we need Gunner to go. So finally, we have the show feed backstage so we can hear different cues for us to go on stage. And all of a sudden, the ringmaster, after the elephant number was over, says, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to, or you know, thank you for coming out to the greatest show on earth, and may all your days be circus days. And we're like, yeah, there's still about 35, 40 minutes of the show left. What's going on? So about that time, management comes flying backstage and goes, everyone, get out of the arena now. Everyone, go, go, go. And so we don't know what's going on. There has been no announcement. There was no announcement made to the audience. Performers, we're all running. We get downstairs and the audience is trickling down and they're asking for autographs. It begins to pour down, raining on us. Some of the costumes we were wearing were anywhere from $8,000 to $15,000, $20,000. And a lot of the costumes were not able to be washed because it would have bled all of the coloring in them. So come to find out, there was a bomb threat at Penn Station, which is underneath Madison Square Garden. And the initial thought was that it was PETA protesters that were trying to disrupt the circus. But in fact, it was a disgruntled Penn Station employee who was very upset and wanted to scare everyone at Penn Station. And unfortunately, it disrupted the show. And so we weren't allowed back into Madison Square Garden until around 3 or 4 a.m. because the police with the dogs had to sweep that massive, massive building.
Wow.
It was,
story.
it was cray cray. It was cray cray.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking as you're at the very front end of that, you talked about, you know, standing outside at the circus, but not quite on stage. Your parents are there and you're feeling that you've arrived. And what's really interesting to me about that moment is what you had to have looked like at the moment, right? I mean, I'm sure you're wearing a full-on clown suit. You had the nose, the face makeup. And it's so interesting to me how arriving, you know, it doesn't require you to be wearing a suit, right? I mean, you living your dream can take on absolutely different shapes and sizes depending on what your dream is. And I think it's so cool. Yeah.
Did you have that?
I am a firm believer in the unconventional. You know, so many people take that normal 9-to-5 job and for my entire career has not been someone's normal 9-to-5 job. So I'm incredibly blessed that those arrival moments have happened sporadically throughout my life. That just kind of shows me that there is more to what your dream currently is and that is a foundation for what's to come.
Did you have a moment like that, Tal? Like, I mean, you know, obviously, Dustin's moment's really cool.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, what was your...
My moment has to be standing on the west lawn of the White House, right in front of the, right outside the president's office and speaking to the White House press on behalf of President Obama. I mean, it's the highlight of my life.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Let's go back to you. So going from Ringling Brothers to Ronald McDonald, very cool and quite a career shift. Tell us how that opportunity came about and maybe what was the most unexpected part of portraying that type of a character?
Mm. So very quickly, I left Ringling Brothers Circus in 2012, at the end of 2012. My contract was up. I didn't want to extend. I was kind of getting burned out. You know, you're doing 1,000 shows every 2 years on top of the publicity appointments. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm kind of done with this. I moved to Los Angeles, thought I wanted to be an actor in Hollywood. My heart truly wasn't in it. I worked at Chipotle, and to this day, I'm the best damn guac maker you're ever going to meet. I am just saying. And so I moved here to Tampa to fulfill a 6-week contract at Busch Gardens for a physical comedy show. And about a week into that, I get a call in between shows. I pick it up and I'm like, hello, which I never picked up calls from unidentified numbers. Well, lo and behold, it was corporate McDonald's. And they said, hey, Dustin, we received your resume and we'd like to fly you to Tampa. I just moved there 6 weeks prior. And we would like to have you audition for Ronald McDonald. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So weirdly enough, in what little I packed, I brought with me a little blue suitcase. To this day, I don't know why. And inside was my clown crap. I had no ambitions of slapping on the clown makeup ever again. And they said, well, the audition is in 1 week and it's going to be at an inner city school in Tampa in front of 40 kids. You have 8 minutes. Now, in the performing world, 8 minutes is like nothing. If you are a non-performer, 8 minutes is like the longest 24 hours of your life. So I was like, 8 minutes, really? That's like nothing. So I auditioned a week later. The next day, I was summoned to a local McDonald's in Tampa Bay, and they offered me a 5-year contract. And I said, listen, I said, I don't do 5-year contracts. On the circus, we did 1-year deals, and I have never seen a Ronald. I've never experienced the magic of Ron McDonald. So I don't feel comfortable doing it. I want to do one-year contract. And they were flabbergasted why I wouldn't accept it. And I said, I'm just not comfortable, because if I don't like it, I want an out. I don't have to be stuck in it for, you know, 5 years. So there were some negotiations. I signed a 1-year contract. Then about 2.5 years in, I was like, gosh, this is kind of cool. Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop. Hey, can we get that 5-year contract, please? Thanks. And they said yes. And so that's how I landed the old Ronald McDonald gig. Nothing fancy, just happenstance. The universe kind of guides you to where you need to go, and here I am.
Wow.
I will say to that, you know, the universe guides you where you need to go if you put yourself on. You have to start moving in a certain direction. The universe will not take you there if you're sitting on the couch.
Because that is called inspired action, you know. And we can talk about this more, I guess, later on, but there is a formula. I guarantee if your listeners follow this formula that I have found that has worked for me throughout my entire life with visualization, manifestation, tell, I think you were in the audience when I gave everyone that equation, and it works. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to come from a well-off family. Anyone can do it, but there are certain things that takes, and the equation cannot be taken out of specific order. You have to do this to do this to do this equals this.
And we'll talk about it for sure when we get into your book, because I thought your presentation to the students was astonishing and very effective. Looking forward
Thank
to that.
You.
Well, that's very
Thank
cool.
Thank you.
All right. So you performed 3,500 shows, which is remarkable, in front of 35 million people. What's all their names? And of course,
John, Pam, Santino.
That's a lot of pressure, obviously. How did you like handle the mental and the physical demands of performing at such, you know, actually a high level? Even though people kind of poo-poo the clown, it's still, you are performing a role. How did you like you know, perform at such a high level for so long?
Well, from even going from Ringling Brothers, which is owned by Feld Entertainment, which is like the biggest entertainment company in the entire world, and even going into Ronald, those performing careers were the golden standard. You know, whenever you hear Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, you don't think, ah, the okayest show on earth. It is the greatest show on earth. So the golden standard has to be there every single show. And it isn't easy. You know, you are doing 500 shows a year, and each show is roughly 3 hours and 15 minutes. So, and on top of that, you're doing all of the publicity, television, newspaper, and radio interviews weekly. There is no week off. I mean, you are in the trenches 24/7. It is a lifestyle. It isn't a 9-to-5. I'm going to go to my office in downtown Tampa and then go back home. No, you're living on the circus train. You are traveling, 11 months out of the year. And that 1 month is either spent in rehearsals for the new show, or you get about 2 weeks off where you have to report back for the second year. So physical and mental, you have to take care of yourself. You have to, because if I'm not mentally there, I can't show up for my audience. And that's a lot about what I talk about now in my work as a keynote speaker, is the mindset work. If your mindset is in the shitter, it is damn near impossible to show up for your customers, for your employees, for everyone else. So the mental capacity in the circus is key to longevity.
Can we pause for 1 second and just dig into that? Just for a second, because personally, I am at that point right now where my mindset has been in said shitter for the last couple of weeks, right? And side note, I'm usually the clown on the show, so it's kind of refreshing to have another clown here. but I'm more of the like base level clown. You're the professional. But like, how do? Please give me some insight into like mindset, how to get out of the shitter, off the pot.
Oh gosh,
please.
You know, mindset dictates every aspect of our life, whether it's a good mindset or it's a bad mindset. When I'm having a bad day, and I'm a human being, Ronald McDonald still gets bad days, although I'm not Ronald McDonald anymore. Although there might still be some white makeup behind my ears. I'm still, checking that out. But you have to realize the power that is inside of you. So many people forget who they are. And weirdly enough, my screensaver on my phone is "Remember Who You Are." And it has helped me so much of the time as of late, with the mindset piece. And people forget that. Quit looking externally for validation of your value, worth, and importance. Because I can tell you, from speaking from someone who has done this, when you think so low of yourself, you expect everyone to fill you up, and it does not happen. You have to find it within yourself first. Whenever you can pour into yourself and you know the strengths and the value that you bring to a role or to a relationship or whatever it is, then you begin to attract on an energetic level other people who begin to validate your existence. But when your vibration is so low, I guarantee, as it happened to me, you will begin to attract people who don't see your value, who will ghost you. It happens because you are at a level of vibration and a frequency where it's attracting like-minded people. And it's the old stupid saying, birds of a feather flock together. And I'm telling you, it is so true. If you think that you are a shitty individual, you begin to attract your circle of influence who begins to show you that you are a shitty individual. But whenever you begin to raise your level of vibration, then you begin to attract a different kind of people into your life. And it's happened to me, it's been a roller coaster, but finding your worth and value inside of you first, and then it will reflect on the outside.
Let's talk about that, because I think, you know, this is a great segue to what led you to your speaking career and to writing your book, which is you had a corporate role at Casper's and it was eliminated. Casper's was a large McDonald's franchise. And at that point you faced a very significant crossroad in your life. And you talked about that to the students. I'd love for you to share what ultimately convinced you to take a leap into not playing it safe, right? Into leaning into entrepreneurship and doing something bold and risky after you did for a minute wallow in feeling like shit, as people would and should and do when things don't go their way.
Yeah. You know, for 5 years with my role at Casper's, I knew that the trajectory was I would be taking over the vice president role of community relations. So it oversaw about a $1.9 million budget a year of philanthropic giving back to Tampa Bay and the morale of our 4,200 people, all the company events. I loved the work I did. I truly drank the Kool-Aid of the culture. It was just phenomenal. And then one day I get a call from a Tampa City councilman who says, "Hey, I heard a rumor that Casper's is selling their 60 restaurants. What can you tell me?" And I'm like, you know, and so long story short, about 10 minutes later, I get called into the CEO's office and he says, "Listen," he goes, you're the fifth person out of 4,200 people to know what's going on. So I need you to keep your mouth shut until corporate announces it. And so you want to talk about one's self-worth plummeting to, you know, it's almost like the stock market as we see it now. You want to talk about your self-worth just going and just crashing and burning. It was so bad because we as human beings put all of our ego and self-worth into the roles and the jobs that we have. Outside of it, you don't really have that. You are defined by the work that you do every single day. And I was defined by the work and having a full calendar. So when everything was just swiped clean, and I was told that I would no longer be with the organization after it sells off their 60 restaurants, it was just a very bad time in my life. I had a couple of jobs afterwards, and they were just jobs. They were not careers. And one failed after another, and my self-worth just began to go. And finally, I had some great friends who were like, "Listen, gosh, you are a great speaker. You have a phenomenal message. It's so unique and so unconventional. You really should get out and begin speaking." And so that kind of took off. And it wasn't even a midlife crisis, but in my you know, wallow in self-pity, I wrote a book. And that took about 10 months or so to write it. And that was a very spiritual, very therapeutic journey for me.
Sure. So before we get to that, though, comedy and public speaking, two totally different muscles, right? Like I would assume that the feedback loop is different, the whole deal. So what was the hardest part between, you know, going from being from clowning to going to keynoting?
Well, you know, there actually is not much difference.
Really?
You would think on the outside that there is a huge difference. There's not. Like I had said before, when I'm in front of an audience now, it isn't in front of 17,000 at Madison Square Garden. It's a different kind of audience. I'm still performing. I don't wear makeup except on Saturday nights, but that's besides the point. No, I don't. I don't do that. But I still wear a costume. I still perform. I still have to be on. I have to give that energy to my audience. It's a different kind of energetic exchange with the audience now, as opposed to being part of an ensemble of 100 performers, 50 animals, music, lighting, pyro, bah, 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 live circus band. It's a one-man show now. And so the energy exchange and what I do, sure, there are different tactics, but it's the same thing. And so that's what's been beautiful about going from career to career, is that one has laid the foundation to the next, from circus clown to Ronald McDonald to community relations for a massive McDonald's franchise to hospitality speaker. It's the same thing. It's just different iterations of it.
I've never been a clown, but I do believe that I can see why the muscles might actually be more similar than not. But I have this question for you. You know, one thing about being a clown is that a clown is almost by definition not you, or not exactly you, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're a speaker, authenticity is quite crucial. So how do you balance that, right? Because I saw you perform. You were absolutely performing. Mm. It was fun and funny. I also thought I saw when you shone through, like it was possible to see, hey, there's Dustin. Talk to me about balancing, you know, authenticity.
Well, if you go to my website, you are going to see time and time again authenticity throughout everything I do. That is one of my core values, is authenticity. Authenticity, humor, and being trustworthy. And so it was very eye-opening for me that when I got into a corporate gig with Casper's, that I took a look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, we in the circus would say, well, you don't really hide behind the makeup. It's an extension of you. And there is a point and there is a truth to that. But looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, we certainly did hide behind the makeup, because you can get away with more things as a clown than you can as Tal or PJ or Dustin. And so now with like what I do, the authenticity has to be even more amplified. As a clown with the circus, I still had to be authentic, because if I didn't believe in the material that I was doing, my audience can't believe it. As Ronald McDonald, you're in the lobbies of McDonald's. You're talking to families across North America. If I wasn't authentic and in the moment, people would call out BS. And so now, even more so as a one-man show and going into these organizations and instilling humor, motivation, inspiration, and making people think differently about their roles within their organizations, and that they can do it, and that you can have the right mindset. Authenticity is like the number one golden key for anyone in a forward-facing role, especially someone who is a keynote or workshop facilitator. If you are not authentic within 20 seconds, because it's been proven, people can say, yeah, bullshit. So for me, it is crucial to be as authentic. How I talk to you all today and to all your, you know, viewers, this is who I am. Tal, I think you can probably attest to that there is no mask. And I always say you need to remove the mask, because that's when people really get to see who you are, either good or bad.
Very cool. So in your book, now we're getting to the book, It's Okay to Be an Idiot. It's all about, as you're saying, authenticity and embracing that as well as imperfection. So can you share a moment where being an idiot actually led to, you know, a breakthrough for you?
Absolutely. So the number one idiotic moment that I've ever had was I was Ronald McDonald, and the day after my birthday in 2017, which would have been October 10th, I get a phone call at 9 o'clock at night, and they said, hey, the Ronald McDonald program is being discontinued at the end of the year. You will no longer have a Ronald gig. Corporate is kind of killing it off. So I call up a friend of mine who was the vice president of community relations for Casper's, who I eventually got a role with. And I call him up and say, hey, I'm not quite sure what's going on. He says, calm down. Everything will then work out. A couple of weeks later, I get called down to their office. I think I'm going to get a severance from the organization, because they were one of my biggest clients through the Ronald program, because they had so many restaurants. And I was summoned to the CEO's office, and he says, Dustin, he goes, I want to let you know something, that for 4 years now, when I would see you at events, I always kept thinking to myself, damn, that guy can do more than just put on makeup. He's relatable. He can talk to anyone from 5 to 95. And I need someone like that to be a part of my organization. He said, you didn't realize it, but for 4 years, you've been auditioning. And that was one of the biggest defining moments of my life. And I look back and authenticity played a huge part in that, because as Ronald, if I was not being authentic to the character and to myself, he could have looked past that and said, oh, well, every time he sees me, he knows I'm a big player within the system. He's trying to impress me. And that's just not how I roll. That's just not my MO. And so for me, that was a huge defining moment of being a real idiot, which idiot does not mean what people typically think idiot means. It isn't a fool. Oh, it isn't
I thought you were talking about a moron.
Well, I was, but you called me out. I'm sorry about that.
Let's get into that, because, you know, I that was, in fact, my next question for you, to spell out the IDIOT acronym, because IDIOT is not, you know, a fool. It's quite the opposite, quite frankly.
Correct.
Why don't you share with the audience what IDIOT stands for?
Well, so if you look at the cover of my book, which I just happen to have here for those people who can see this.
I have a signed copy, PJ, just for the record.
Oh, it's true. Aren't you?
He does. And PJ, if you play your cards correctly, you can get one too for 3 easy payments of none.
Does that come with a Columbia House subscription?
So IDIOT. If you notice, there is a clown nose for the O in the word IDIOT. So first of all, yes, IDIOT, clown. People call the clown the IDIOT, the fool, number one. But most importantly, IDIOT. Imagine your potential. Dream big. Ignite your inner fire. Own your, this is my favorite, originality. And give thanks. IDIOT. I don't care if you're the head of a Fortune 500 organization. I don't care if you clean the bathrooms and toilets at your local Wendy's. You can be an IDIOT. You again, we go back to, so many people have limiting beliefs about themselves. And so this book talks about becoming the IDIOT and not necessarily embracing your imperfections, but embracing who you are, finding that inherent talent within you, owning your authenticity, your originality. That stuff plays a major part in people's demise or their success.
And on that very point, I mean, it's a theme that I, throughout your event with the students, in which he kept their attention, PJ, like you would not believe.
I can only imagine.
It was incredible. And he had gadgets. He was throwing clown noses at them. It was great. It was a phenomenal show. But they got the message, I think. The IDIOT message, I think, resonated. And it's about seeing setbacks as setups instead of failures. Talk about that, Dustin.
So there is a term in the medical world. It's called failure to thrive. And it deals with when a child of a certain age and certain sex has not developed like the other kids of the age and of that sex. And so, but we think failure to thrive is that, oh, well, I'm not able to go to the next level because I have failed. And I just don't believe that. Every failure that I have had, failed auditions, failed jobs, failed relationships, have always propelled me to the next level. And I can't remember who said it, but our life should be from mountaintop to mountaintop. There should never be any massive valleys. Life is meant to be living from mountaintop to mountaintop, but often we find ourselves down in the shitter. But that, those moments down here are better than the moments that are up here, because this is where that forward momentum propels you over the next mountain to go to your next best self. So I do feel that whenever we fail, that it can really project you even more so than if you did succeed, because this is where the learning happens. It isn't up here from like peak to peak. It's down in the valley. That's where we begin to figure out and learn and study and get better. And then whenever you succeed again, that is propelling you forward. So I don't believe in failure. I haven't always believed like that. But as of right now, I believe that failure is a damn good thing. Don't do it again, but it's a damn good thing that will propel you to the next best version of yourself.
Wow. So cool. And I love that, right? Like when you're describing it that way, it's easy to see how there's momentum shifts all the time. And
always,
you know, like that plummeting towards failure is actually your accelerator towards prosperity.
There is an incredible visual aid, and I think it may have been the Mythbusters who did this years ago, but they took a ball and they put it here, and then there was a ball beneath it. Now, the ball beneath it was going to go through a roller coaster, yeah, and the ball up here just went a straight line. And the ball that went on a mountaintop kind of a pattern got to the end quicker than the ball that just went straight down.
Yep.
So that goes to show you just how important it is to fail forward, not to fall backwards. So I'm a huge proponent of it. Sometimes it sucks. Most of the time it sucks, but there's always an incredible lesson that you learn from it to not repeat it again, but that whenever you do fail, something really phenomenal happens that wouldn't have been there if you had succeeded the first time.
Wow. So cool. So cool. And so I have a question. I didn't realize that I was going to be talking to an actual Ronald McDonald today. So one of the things that I kind of popped in my head was that I'm in my second marriage. My first marriage, my brother-in-law was battling leukemia and spent a lot of time at the Ronald McDonald House, and fantastic organization. Like what they do for families and people who are battling all kinds of just terrible maladies. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to spend time in that environment, and what was that like?
Often, every single month. We saw families from all over the world. So the Tampa Bay Ronald McDonald House, there are four of them. And we got to see families that were staying there for a couple of nights because the kid needed minor surgery, to families that were there for 4 or 5 years. There was a family that was from Guatemala, and their daughter had a heart condition that if she went back home because of the altitude, her heart would have literally exploded.
Oh, God.
So they had the heart surgery here in Tampa at one of the big children's hospitals. And then the family lived at the Ronald McDonald House, I want to say for 6 years. And I remember this was years after I left Ronald, the family was, they did a big news story on one of the local TV stations that the family, after 6 years, was finally going home. The daughter was healthy enough to go back home. And so the stories and the remarkable resiliency that the Ronald McDonald House has just permeating from every crevice, every nook, it was remarkable. And even my time at Casper's company, we would go there and we would make lunch for the families because we always wanted to kind of give, you know, back. And so spent a lot of time with the Ronald McDonald House Charities, specifically in Tampa Bay. And they do such damn good work. And Lisa Supernand is their CEO and has been for the past, eight years, remarkable lady, has a true heart and passion for the work. You really have to. This isn't just a job that is flippant. You have to be totally physically and emotionally invested in these families and in these strangers, and they do such damn good work. So I appreciate you bringing that up, because as you know, PJ, it's a phenomenal charity that not a lot of people know about or the mission that they do. I keep on saying the Ronald McDonald House Charities, as the overall charity, global charity, is the best kept secret. It is the best kept secret. No one really knows exactly what their mission is. And they are not fully funded by McDonald's. Only 25% of their intake of donations is by McDonald's. 75% comes from people like you and I.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I mean, the best.
There you go.
Secret.
Yeah. So what's not a secret to me is that you want to take your message global. And I've met you and your husband. You're an inspiring couple. You have so much fire in you and so much interest in reaching people and touching lives. What's your ultimate goal? What would you like your speaking career to accomplish? And what impact do you hope to leave on the audiences you reach?
You know, whenever someone leaves my presentation, whether it's a keynote or a workshop or a one-on-one executive coaching, I always want them to leave just a little bit better, because I can help push you. I can help steer you into the right direction, but you need to take, as we had mentioned earlier, that inspired action. You know, words only go so far, but actions speak louder. And if you can be a catalyst for change in someone's life, if you can make them think a little bit differently about who they are, that is so worthwhile to me. Getting messages, I still get messages from people, emails, LinkedIn messages. Hey, I saw your presentation, and it made me quit my job. I had a lady who was so stuck. She was a general manager for a major fitness company. And she read my book, and chapter 9, which is Sustaining Happiness, Finding Fulfillment Beyond Salary and Title, which is a chapter, which is a lesson from my playbook after I left Casper's. She read it and she said, you know what? She goes, I have drafted a resignation letter, and I am quitting in 2 weeks. Because of your chapter the money I make here, that title doesn't mean anything. And so it's like those things that ignites my fire. And, you know, where I want to go, global. I want to speak on stages across the world. I want to empower people and their mindset that you can do anything you want. And the career that I've had and the blessings that I've had just doesn't pertain to Dustin Portillo. Anyone can have those. Anyone can experience life's greatest joys in life. But first, you have to be empowered to take that inspired action and to believe in yourself first and foremost. Because if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will.
Very cool. I have a couple of quick questions. I also want one really quick comment. I literally was just talking to my son the other day. You had mentioned about having the impact on the people. I had told him that one of my goals ever since growing up is I've always said, if I meet someone, if I can make them laugh, if I can make them smile, then I have given them at least a moment in their lives where they were happy or they were not worried or thinking about something negative. And that's always been like, kind of like a little gift that I've wanted to impart upon people. And so I think that in that aspect or in that respect, you and I have somewhat of a same mentality, which I think is pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm just trying to
PJ, what's interesting about that is in his pre-interview questionnaire, Dustin actually provided a quote by Churchill.
Yeah. I was gonna say
that says that. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't see it.
This was a quote that I had as you walked into my office at Casper's. It was a big decal that spanned the entire length. And it says, in Winston Churchill, which you wouldn't think said this, if you can make someone laugh, you give them a little vacation.
Oh, perfect.
And that is how I have lived my life since I was a kid to what I do now. Humor and making people forget about their troubles has been one of my guiding principles. And if I don't have humor in my life, I'm not living, and there is no point to live. Mm. God gave you a talent and an inherent talent. Utilize it to your ability and to everyone else's ability, and you will make the world a better place.
Well, you certainly went full on into it. I guess I have to start living up to my potential. Jeez.
Go either go big or go home. You know what I mean?
That's why I'm sitting at home.
That has been kind of the theme of my life.
So I understand there was something about the size of a microphone at the interview, like with
oh God. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have, as opposed to having like a little lapel mic, I have a little small microphone that, you know, hooks into my cell phone, and it's a pretty phenomenal microphone. Hal was so fantastic to give me a testimonial afterwards with a couple of other folks. And the quality of the microphone is so damn good that I have not utilized it since then. And I kick myself if my foot could reach my rear, I'd be kicking myself because it's so good. And I remember Tal saying at one point, and I've got a clip, my hands, I think he says, my hands aren't this big.
I think what I said, actually, I think, I mean, I forgot about the story, but I think what I said, I'm holding a mic that's maybe, I don't know, 3 inches, right? It looks exactly like a full size microphone.
Smaller than that.
Yeah. It's just very small. And I said, it's not that the microphone is small, it's that my hand is huge. I think that's what I said, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I actually haven't seen the clip. That's funny. I'd love to see it. I forgot that we did that.
So part of your client testimonial is on my website. So
is that right?
Go okay. On there, take a
is
look.
That yeah, part in yeah, it? Yeah. I'd love to laugh at that if it is. I'll go check it out.
No, it's, but you I know it's I a great. Should put it there.
You should. It's a great segue to telling people where they can find you. Where's your website and where else can people find you?
Well, I'm not going to tell them my home address because that's where they can find me currently.
That's weird.
But my website is DustinMPortillo.com, DustinMPortillo.com. And you can also
and it will
find,
be in our show notes for everybody listening and watching. You'll be able to find it.
Perfect. You can find everything on there from my keynotes to my workshops to the life I've had, and to get a copy of my book, which whenever you buy from my website, it physically comes from me. I sign, actually, this is a book that is currently signed, and it's going to a McDonald's owner operator out of, I want to say, Dallas, Fort Worth. So he just bought it. So the books purchased from my website come from me. I hand sign them to whoever buys it, and put a little, you know, message in there. This one says, to Jack, you are the chief idiot. Wear that badge proudly, my friend, Dustin Portillo. And so Jack will get a little bit of happiness from that as
nice.
Well.
Nice. I think mine says, Tal, you're a big idiot. Something like that. It was memorable. It was good.
I actually try to make every single inscription completely different. I don't want to duplicate from, and I've sold quite a few. So it's been very difficult for me to consistently have a different inscription on every single book.
Well done. Well, our guest today, Dustin Portillo, is not an ordinary clown. In fact, he's not a clown at all anymore. Now he is someone that inspires people to live their best lives, to overcome their challenges, to not view setbacks as destiny, but quite to the contrary, to view setbacks as a springboard to the great life that they have the opportunity to live. Everyone listening to this podcast knows that PJ and I strongly believe that life is about overcoming those setbacks, and that what is united the successful people that have been on this podcast over now into our fourth season is resilience, is literally refusing to quit when the going gets tough. We all have tough moments. Some of them are tougher than others, But the fact is that as you look at your life, any one of us, we've made it through. Yeah, every one of these tough moments, we are on the other side of them. And if we are in the middle of them, you know, to paraphrase something that's on my wall, PJ knows this, it's the rom-com speech from Ted Lasso, where Ted said, if you're in the middle of the forest, you know it's not the end, right? So if you're in the dark part of the forest, if you've ever seen a rom-com, they always have the moment in the middle where everything seems doomed and they're not going to fall in love. But you know that's not the end of the story.
It's the third end.
You know it's not the end of the story. So if you happen to be at a point in your life where it's dark, just remember rom-communism, as Ted Lasso said, or Dustin's message with his book, it's not the end. And oftentimes, it is exactly what will spring you to where you want to go. I'll get off my soapbox, but I just wanted to say that, Dustin, you're inspiring. Thank you, I'm glad you're on. I look forward to seeing you in person and to continuing to have you at USF events, hopefully, and continued success to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you both very much. And to all you listening, just to reiterate, life can be fantastic. And life should be fantastic. We are not meant to be in constant failure. I have been there numerous times, but there is always a bright light at the end of the tunnel. I guarantee it. Stick it out, and you will be a better human being, and you'll be a new version, level 2.0. So I believe in you. These guys believe in you, and we love you, and we support you, and we want the best for you.
Nicely done. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's a wrap, folks. Like what you heard, want to support the show? Please follow our page on LinkedIn and Facebook, visit us on YouTube, and please like and rate us on all of your favorite podcast streaming services. You can also see exclusive content, subscribe for free to our weekly blog, support our sponsors, and soon buy our merchandise at www.bravingbusiness.com. Thanks for being a part of our production, and we'll see you next time on the Braving Business Podcast.